Now, the Gospel of Luke begins in the temple in Jerusalem. We see there the ministry of Zechariah, worshipping God, being a priest of God, offering his life, offering sacrifices and service to the Lord. The Gospel of Luke ends in Jerusalem with the disciples gathered in prayer, praying and worshipping God after they just watched him ascend into heaven. So these two extremes of the Gospel provide the focal point. And then here in 951, we have this definitive beginning of this long journey, this pilgrimage to Jerusalem. Remember last week in the Gospel?
No. Yeah, probably not.
We had a prediction about the passion of Jesus. And he put this question to the disciples. Who do you say that I am?
Ah, yeah, that's right. That's right.
And so we have this powerful sense. And Jesus knew where he was going. He knew what he was on about. And so on this day, after he's had that answer from the disciples, after they've begun now to begin to sense who he is, as Peter said last Sunday, you are the Christ of God. This powerful understanding that now they're finally beginning to get the sense of who Jesus is and how he fits within their lives. And so he's beginning to get the sense, okay, this group of 12 clueless idiots, disciples, apostles, they're beginning to get this sense of being able to follow along the way with Jesus. And so this is the time. This is that moment in the life and ministry of Jesus where he knows, okay, now the final days are drawing near and I have to now go along the path. A path that he says is going to be difficult. He never promises us as followers along the way that it's just going to be all sweet, nice and cool. That was never the promise of Jesus. So often in the Christian church, we've had that kind of sense. All you need to do is commit your life to Jesus and everything else will work out for you. That has never been the promise. Never once does the Lord say it will just be sweet and easy. He tells us out front it's going to be tough. He tells us we're going to be persecuted. He tells us that our friends and family will hate us for doing this. And he still says, well, come follow me. You're like, Jesus, I really think you need to get better marketers. Like, really, you need to have that whole kind of thing sorted out. Because your message is really kind of weird. Come on. And yet, bizarrely, we're here. We've made this decision. We've responded to this call to say, regardless of how big an idiot I might look, I want to follow him. I want to join him on this journey to Jerusalem. And what lies in Jerusalem? What is at the end of the road? What is the thing that everyone is moving towards? Suffering, passion, death. Will the disciples be there when Jesus most needs them to be with him? When he's suffering there on the cross? No, they won't be. They fall away. They run away. Not the first chance that they get, but they're unable to follow through. And so they're great models for us. They really provide powerful consolation for us. For those times when I just stuff it up completely, where I get it all wrong, and I remember, I'm not the first to mess it all up. I'm not the first to get it all wrong. And yet, Jesus will invite me again to join with him on that road. It's been, something of a struggle for me on my journey of discipleship. 27 years now since I began on this journey. And it hasn't been, indeed, all of that wonderful, beautiful moments. A lot of them, yes. But there have been moments where I've just been completely confused and I haven't known what God has been doing in my life. And I still remember after I'd finished the whole seminary program, so 7 years in the seminary, and I just felt this sense that, I couldn't be ordained at that stage. And so I had to go in and to see the Cardinal, the Archbishop of Sydney at that stage. It was Cardinal Clancy. And thankfully a priest had warned me that he was going to be quoting from this gospel at me. And so I was kind of a little bit prepared. But You know, when a prince of the church looks at you and says, Richard, the disciple who puts his hands on the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. And it's a devastating thing to be told that. To be told you're not worthy if you look back. If you walk away from the seminary, you're walking away from God. And I was like, oh, I'm sorry. I've never gone plowing, so the image doesn't kind of make a whole lot of sense. But I remember as a kid, I grew up on a farm. We wouldn't
mow the whole of our front yard, because it was about 12 acres. But we would mow kind of paths. So to walk up the hill, we're at the halfway down this hill, there was a water tank on top of the hill. And when we'd start mowing up the hill, I would have to fix my eyes on that water tank. And that would be the thing that I would look at. And I would just know that I had to just keep looking straight up. The moment where I look back to see if the path was nice and straight, what would happen? Yeah, the mower would just go right off the path.
The only thing to do was to keep looking at that object, to say that's the thing that I have to aim for. That is the object, that is the direction that I must head. But there will be times when things will get in the road, when there can be this more profound kind of sense of calling. And so even though Cardinal Clancy, you know, called me to task and told me that I wasn't worthy to be a disciple, I know now that was still the right decision to make. There can be these times in our lives when we need to just step out. But as long as we know that we can keep our eyes fixed on the prize, not of a water tank, but on the prize of Christ, the gift of his life, the gift of his call, the truth that he has chosen me and called me. Regardless of all the mess, all of the weird decisions, all of the rubbish and crap and skubalon, as St. Paul calls it in Philippians 3, all of that rubbish that can be part of our lives, lay that aside and journey with Jesus along the path that leads to God, to our ultimate fulfillment. As Renee was reminding us today, he doesn't call us into a life of rubbish. He calls us into that life of fullness. That is the promise. Will there be suffering? Probably. Will there be glory? Absolutely. And that is what continues to call us and invite us into that fullness of life with him. Sometimes, like Elijah realized that he'd grown old and he needed to call another young man into this discipleship with him. He needed to be able to train and form Elisha to come and walk this journey with him, to be able to hand over the reins of his ministry to Elisha. And that will come in our lives too, when we need to work with someone else, to prepare them, to train them, to disciple them, so that they can take over. And that we need to then let go of all of these things. All of this is part of this call to resolutely set our face towards Jerusalem and to the cross of Christ.